Good evening. Good morning is written here, though. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration, and the title of it is The Relationship Requirement of a Faithful Savior. The Relationship Requirement of a Faithful Savior. Today, just as we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, a remembrance meal. We eat by breaking bread. We drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, except if you're Janice Miller. Janice West, right? Janice West, Janice Miller. Unless you're Janice West, she doesn't like wine. So we eat by breaking bread, we drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, one of the most significant occurrences in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says this. Here's the New American Standard translation of it. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And here's the Rory translation of it. Here's what it means. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again in the second coming, which is an absolute certainty." And so at the Lord's Supper celebration, we, a gathering of believers, remember the Lord's death on the cross, which paid for the sin of all mankind, the fact that we were born in Adam, born in sin. We remember the shedding of his blood to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And we remember with gladness that he was resurrected from the dead 3 days later to prove his deity. We had a little comment on the website, on the Barah Ministries website recently, that Jesus Christ is not God, that Allah is God, and Jesus Christ was just a good prophet like everybody else. Well, if that's true, then how many of those prophets have been resurrected from the dead? And the answer is none of them, none of them. None of them. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not any pope, none of them. But our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed been resurrected from the dead, proving his deity. And that's one of the great reasons to celebrate today. Now, we know, as believers in Christ, that the victorious Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of his Father's throne, waiting for the moment when God the Father will make the Lord's enemies a footstool under his feet. And we know that we, as believers in Christ who are in union with Christ, are also seated at the right hand of God the Father's throne right now, waiting for the future event where we know exactly what that means. Now, during the last Lord's Supper celebration, we began looking at the faithfulness of our Savior. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a key requirement of relationship is faithfulness. Every relationship benefits from faithfulness. Now, what is a relationship? A relationship is a connection that you decide to make with another person. And the relationship becomes a possession of yours to be treasured, to be cared for, and to be nurtured. Let me repeat that. What is a relationship? A relationship is a connection that you decide to make with another person, and the relationship becomes a possession of yours to be treasured, to be cared for, and to be nurtured. Do you think of relationships in this way? Do you think of relationships in this way? If this is your thought about relationships, then you know that relationships are not entered into lightly. You know that the term relationship, which is a word that describes this connection, isn't a throwaway word to be used as if it is a reference to something insignificant. For example, the United States government chooses to enter into relationship with soldiers for the purpose of having them protect the nation. And one such group of soldiers is the United States Marine. The Marine Corps slogan is Semper Fidelis. Semper Fidelis, that is a Latin expression that means always faithful. To a Marine, Semper Fi, as they abbreviate it, is more than just a slogan. It is a lifestyle. demanding absolute loyalty. A Marine is the living personification of faithfulness, with a fanatical dedication to the relationships with, that they have with those they serve. And that's even people who burn the flag. That's even people who badmouth the country. They are fanatical in their dedication to such people. The Marines have never experienced a mutiny. They are dedicated to relationships to the death, and they are willing to fight for those they love with a love that has no conditions. So it is with the faithful Savior whom we celebrate today and every day. He is fanatical in his dedication to a relationship with each of his creatures, and he was loyal to his mission to go to the cross in a sinless state so that he could die on behalf of all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says this: if we believers in Christ are faithless, and we are, first class condition if, and it's true, if we believers in Christ are faithless, and we are, the Lord remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He considers anyone with his righteousness as a part of himself. And if you're a believer in Christ, you have his righteousness. Therefore, you are a part of him, and he would never turn his back on you. Always faithful. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to us, even when we are faithless. Welcome to a place where you can celebrate the faithful Savior and his relationship requirement that he suggests for us, faithfulness, not only as a characteristic, but also as a lifestyle. Well, we begin our study today to get you transitioned from the world to here with a song. The song is A Few Good Men, sung by the Gaither Vocal Band.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God,
dares to go against the grain and work without applause.
The man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure,
whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure.
God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good.
Broken derelict, whose life has been renewed.
He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth.
Enlistment lines are open, and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good.
Just needs a few.
let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, you know our needs even when we don't. And one of the things we need more than anything in our relationships is something you have in abundance, faithfulness. Thank you for teaching us what faithfulness is by sending us a faithful Savior in your Son, who was fanatical in his dedication to each of us, so that anyone might be saved who wants to be saved. Remove our blindness in relationships. Correct our failures in relationships. Sow into us, through your word, the seeds of faithfulness, through the enabling power of your Holy Spirit, so that we can enjoy the benefit of being in close connection with the people that you put in our lives. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration, and the title of the lesson is The Relationship Requirement of a Faithful Savior. So let's take a moment now to give you a chance to make an offering. It's a chance for you to support this ministry in providing the Word of God both to you and to those who are positive to the Word of God all over the world. We appreciate your faithfulness, the faithfulness of your contributions. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good evening. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Brah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. So the other day I was thinking about pregnancy, and it hit me how amazing the power of God is. Because when you think about pregnancy, humans are so arrogant, they're so serious and so caught up in themselves that they think that they create not only a human being, but a human soul. And it's just amazing to think all the intricacies that happen and how it goes from just two cells to just to a fetus and a little tiny, tiny baby inside of there. And it's amazing. And you think about the environment and how people, you know, what did they used to call it? Global warming? And now they call it, what is it called? Climate change. Because it doesn't suit the story anymore. The temperatures aren't going up anymore. So now they call it climate change to just accommodate for any changes, storms or weather going up or weather going down. Again, we're so arrogant that we think that we have so much to do with the environment. Certainly we do. We don't control the complete environment. It goes on. It'll go on without us or with us trying to destroy it. You think about the UN right now is going to try to tax beef in America so that it's so taxed that we won't eat it anymore in order to cut down on methane gas, which they think is harming the earth. Again, human beings trying to control everything, thinking we're in so much in control. And you think about the very power that rose Jesus from the dead and makes him God is something we have access to on a daily basis through our prayers. And you think, how does that even happen? How does it really work? And you look at it in your daily life, you know, you turn on the blender. That's not your power. That's just power that comes from a power plant. You use your truck, you turn your truck on. That's not your power. You just push the buttons and go. And it's amazing to think that the same power that rose Jesus and the same power that saves your soul when you accept Christ is the same power that directs our money. It's the same power that directs your time, your talent, and your treasure to do wonderful things. And I read in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches." See, none of those worldly things matter at all. It's all about what's right here, the truth, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come here each week to support this, and it's amazing. And it's amazing to think that we have that access and that power at any given time in our life, and we just have to say yes. So thank you for saying yes.
Thank you.
Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration, and the title is The Relationship Requirement of a Faithful Savior. Now, before we get into the lesson, I just want to say that there aren't any announcements today, but I just got back from Idaho today. We were up at the Coeur d'Alene Conference, and it was absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And I have a lot more to say about it next week, but I just want to thank John and Monica Miller for hosting a beautiful conference. And there were about 30 people there. And I really like teaching when there are people in the seats. And so we need to get people into this church. And that's going to be our mission in the second half of this year, is to get people in these seats. Because the messages that are coming from this pulpit are strong, powerful messages that people need to be hearing and need to be storing in their souls, in their lives. And so we need to find ways to get people invited here, and I'm confident that if they're invited here and they stay here and concentrate for a little bit, they'll want to be a part of this ministry. We're going to grow this ministry. So the relationship requirement of a faithful Savior. So in our last Lord's Supper celebration, you were asked to reflect on a question, and the question is, are you faithful in your relationships? Are you faithful in your relationships? Well, what does it mean to be faithful in your relationships? When you are faithful in relationships, you stick with the relationship through thick and thin. You never betray the relationship. You always give the people you are in relationship with a way out of a jam. You accomplish what you set out to do for those with whom you are in relationship. You protect the relationship from all forms of harm, even in circumstances where those you are in relationship with want to harm you or want to harm themselves. You are always on the side of those with whom you have relationships. You are willing to stand up for your relationships when there is trouble. So I ask you, are you faithful in relationships? Well, our God certainly is faithful in his relationship with us. In fact, he is incapable of being unfaithful. So we can always count on his fanatical dedication to a relationship with us. For example, God the Father is faithful to us out of his love for the person and work of his Son at the cross. He is impressed with and is perfectly satisfied by the Lord's propitiatory sacrifice on our behalf at the cross. And we know that propitiation means that there is only one perfectly satisfactory payment for sins in the eyes of God the Father, and that only perfectly satisfactory payment is the payment that the Lord Jesus Christ made at the cross and the thing that we celebrate today. So as a result of his faithfulness, as a result of that propitiatory work at the cross, God the Father is faithful to us believers in Christ because we are in union with his Son. And the Father has the same attitude toward and affection for us that he has for his Son. I was talking to Harold Christensen about that yesterday at the Coeur d'Alene Conference, and he said, you know what, Pastor Rory, I just can't get my head around that. And I said, you? That's really hard to get your head around. It's hard to get your head around the fact that when God the Father looks at you as a believer in Christ, he sees the same thing he sees in his Son. That is an affection that you can't even describe in words. Now, more than all of this, God the Father would never be unfaithful to his Son. Therefore, he would never consider being unfaithful to anyone who is in union with his Son. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are absolutely and eternally secure in the certainty of God's faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of the things couples expect from each other when they go to the altar in marriage. Each expects complete faithfulness in thought, in word, and in deed from the person he is marrying. Yet no human being is, nor has any human being ever been, faithful in this way. No human being has ever been faithful in thought, in word, and in deed, in perfection, this way. In fact, when you think about it, it's foolish for us to even expect faithfulness from other human beings, and especially in marriage. Yet we do expect it. And then we're devastated when we don't get it. We're disillusioned constantly when we discover that our relationships contain an unfaithful element. And what we're disappointed by, when you think about it, is the illusion, not the people. See, no person in his right mind would promise you a mistake-free relationship. Now, maybe you didn't hear that, but let me repeat it. No person in his right mind would promise you a mistake-free relationship. Well, why do we expect that from people? Why do we expect that we're going to have the relationship? We're going to be the first one on the planet to have the relationship where the other person is more than a human being and doesn't make mistakes. It's absolutely insane, yet it's exactly the insane thought that's running inside of every one of us. We expect it. And then the devastation we feel when we are burned by our illusion does not keep us from hoping that the next person, the next relationship, will be the faithful one. We lament, well, it just wasn't meant to be. Alas, we like living in the fairy tale fantasies of our minds rather than dealing with the truth of reality. And the truth is that you can have a pretty awesome relationship with an unfaithful person if you are willing to incorporate into your relationships a sphere of grace that allows for other people to be human and that allows for other people to make mistakes. While wishing for this faithfulness from humans, we ignore the faithfulness of the one who is always faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we, believers in Christ, are in relationship with. See, this is the person who will do what you expect. He is the one who will be faithful to you no matter what. And he is the only one that will do that. The only one. The one whose death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, his seating at the right hand of the Father, that we celebrate today. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to us in his person and in his work on the cross. He is the faithful Savior. Funny thing about us humans, we always wish for what we don't have. We don't have faithfulness in our human relationships, and we're wishing for it. I sure wish it. And then we completely ignore what we do have, which is a faithful Savior. We want faithfulness from humans, which we'll never get. And we ignore the faithfulness of our Savior, which he extended to us even before we were born. So let's enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper celebration, and then we'll take a look at the relationship requirement of a faithful Savior. So the Lord's Supper celebration elements are next. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, which was the voluntary sacrifice that he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute. And we are grateful for what he has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. So when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again in the second coming. Well, as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. And now and always, let's keep on giving thanks that we are loved unconditionally and we are accepted fully by the faithful Savior. And let's enjoy this unconditional love that He has for us day by day. And that's the name of our Lord's Supper song. Let's take a music break. I can only imagine. My mercy me.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I can too. I have a pretty vivid imagination. How about you? I can imagine what Barah Ministries is going to be one day and where we're going to be housed. I can imagine a lot of things. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration, the relationship requirement of a faithful Savior. The relationship requirement of a faithful Savior. What does a faithful God expect of his unfaithful creatures? Well, faithfulness. God thinks faithfulness is a relationship requirement. He expects us to be fanatical in our dedication to each of our relationships. And when we make the mistake of unfaithfulness, he expects us to adjust. He does not expect perfection from us. He expects us to, that when he shows us the error of our ways, that we come to him and that we respond to him and we respond to his word and we obey him. And this is why we have been given the gift of grace. God's grace gives us the chance to learn from our mistakes and not to obsess about them. I'm sick of this description of God's grace. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, but we get it anyway. I think that's the dumbest description of grace that I've ever heard. Because grace is so much more than that. That hardly describes grace adequately. And if you ever just stop to think about what God's grace is really like, it would be amazing to you. You wouldn't even be able to comprehend it. See a path in your mind. See a path in your mind. If you have to close your eyes to imagine a path, see the path in your mind. You can even think about the road not taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And I took the one less traveled by. Imagine that path. See the path in your mind. God has preordained a path for your life, and it will be the one less traveled by. And all he asks of you is that you walk the path. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, we are God the Father's workmanship. You are a piece of art. You are an amazing sculpture in the mind of God. We are God the Father's workmanship, created to be in union with Christ Jesus and designed for good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand, which works God the Father prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You, as the disobedient and imperfect creature that you are, step off the path God has preordained for you on a regular basis. Sometimes you go to the shoulder. Woo, 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 woo. Sometimes you drift into the lane of the other cars. Woo, 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 woo. June, are you feeling that? Where you drive? Yet God is patient toward you. He gently nudges you to get back on the path, and he wants you to willingly obey. He is not bothered by your imperfection. He is not bothered at all by your willfulness. He is not bothered at all by your unfaithfulness, and he never turns his back on you. For the same strong will that is directed toward disobedience can be changed in an instant and directed toward obedience. Ask the Apostle Paul, who with one flash of light from the heavens got on a completely opposite path from the one that he was on, moving from slaughtering Christians to serving Christians and to serving the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's faithfulness can be described as devotion. Just as the human parent is devoted to the wayward child, so is our God devoted to us. In fact, what is the lesson that the wayward child has for human beings? The child who always finds himself in the worst kind of trouble. The wayward child is a mirror. He is a lamp to those of us who are the great cover artists of the world, those of us who prefer to pretend like we don't have the same defects as the wayward child, those of us who like pretending that our sins are a little better than everybody else's, those who think that their brand of self-righteousness is somehow wonderful, while everyone else's is horrible and offensive. Well, the decision to be in a relationship with someone involves you making a commitment to him. It is not a commitment that is made lightly. It is a commitment that is born on the wings of faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful in relationships? Faithfulness means giving your whole heart and your whole being to a relationship without regard to the pain associated with making the choice. Put that up, Denny. Faithfulness means giving your whole heart and your whole being to a relationship without regard for the pain associated with making the choice. So it was with my mother. I was one of the four children. I was the one of the four children to decide for faithfulness when it was time to care for a mother with a severe case of dementia who was quite mean in her demented state. By asking myself, if not me, then whom? I knew the answer was there is no one else. Her other three children betrayed her, but I answered the call to God's faithfulness. I answered God's call to faithfulness. And that's what God wants from all of us. All God asks us for is all. That's it. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That means that in relationships and that in everything you do, you're all in. You don't stick your toe in the water. You're all in. All. Especially in the matter of faithfulness in relationships. We love the Lord this way because he first loved us that way. The Lord is all in for us. He is fanatical in his dedication to a relationship with us. What does it mean to be faithful in a relationship? It means allowing yourself to be deprived of things in relationships that you think are rightfully yours. It means allowing yourself to be deprived of things in relationship that you think are rightfully yours. So when you're in a relationship and you're asking yourself, well, why do I have to be the one? You know that you are being faithful. And there are times when you wonder why you are the one who is always giving as you watch others take in your relationships. Well, so it is with God, always giving, never taking. To understand how faithful God is, you have to look at his attitude toward the worst of us. Nero, who killed his own mother and who set Christians on fire for fun and said, well, they said they're the light of the world, ha, ha, ha. Adolf Hitler, who tried to exterminate the Jews, who tried to wipe out a complete race of people, and quite unsuccessfully. Saddam Hussein, the Apostle Paul, the worst person who ever lived, but the man who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, who was selected to communicate the mystery doctrine of the church age to the Gentiles. God loved them all unconditionally. What's your attitude toward despicable people like that? If I introduce a new congregation member to you and you find out that this person is a prostitute or a gigolo or a stripper or an alcoholic or a drug addict or a pedophile, can you see yourself being in relationship with such vermin? And can you ever see yourself being faithful to them? Well, they have a mother who is probably faithful to them. They have the United States Marines who are faithful to them. And they have a God who is faithful to them. What does it mean to be faithful in your relationships? It means standing steadfast and firm in your conviction toward the relationship. The Lord is the master of fanatical dedication to a relationship with us. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 say this: the Lord's loving kindnesses, the Lord's graciousness, indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. If God promised something 6,000 years ago, the promise is as solid today as it was when it was made. I always chuckle when people say, well, the Bible's out of date. It was written over 2,000 years ago, and all things have changed, all the translations and all the things that have happened. And yeah, whatever. Whatever. You're saying to me that an omnipotent God can't protect his word, can't protect his promises over 2,000 years? I say he's protected those promises over a billion years. And those promises are new every morning. And the Jews thank God for that. The faithless Jews thank God for that. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90 say this: forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God made five promises to Abraham about the Jewish race a long time ago, and all of them will be fulfilled. Psalm 119:90, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands, and nothing ever can change that faithfulness that God has toward the Jews. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Immutability. And therefore you, O sons of Jacob, the Jews, are not consumed. And so even though the Jews have turned their back on their Messiah, they have ignored the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he will not turn his back on them, and he will still keep the promises that he made to their father, Abraham, through Isaac and through Jacob. Well, here's what I wonder. Can you remain faithful to the one you're married to when they commit adultery and you find out about it? Can you remain faithful to the one you married when you find out that they have fallen out of love with you? Can you remain faithful to the one you are married to when they are suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's disease? Can you remain faithful to the one you are married to when there is a terrible tragedy in your family, like your child being drowned by an alligator on family vacation? I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that couple whose son was drowned at Disney World by an alligator. Because what normally happens is people get a divorce right after that. They start blaming each other for it happening and they get a divorce. And I'm looking forward to seeing the result of that. Can you remain faithful to the one you are married to when your loved one inconveniences you by having to battle cancer? Well, I say if the Lord can be fanatically dedicated to a relationship with us, then we can do it too, through Him. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 2 says this: You shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you into the wilderness these 40 years. He's talking to the Jews here. That He might humble you, testing you for your own benefit and knowledge, not for His. To know what was in your heart. See, that's why God tests us. God tests us so that we can know what's in our heart, not so He can know. He already knows. Whether you would keep His mandates or not. What's in our hearts? I'll tell you what's in our hearts. Unfaithfulness is in our hearts. Nothing good is in our hearts. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. That's Paul talking. For the willing to do good is present in me, but the doing of good is not present in me. You have to know that that describes you. You want to do great things. You know that it's in you to do great things, and yet it's not what you do. Our faithful God gives us a singular voice to follow. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this: My sheep hear my voice, and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, know them. I know my sheep, and they follow me. I was in a restaurant up in Coeur d'Alene, and it was absolutely wonderful to watch this mother duck walk her four little ducklings into the restaurant, and they had quite a feast in the restaurant. And whenever they drifted off, she would just honk, 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 and they would come running right to that noise. And I thought of this verse. This is amazing to watch how it really works. And there was one of the ducklings that was really aggressive, and he would get food and he would run away and he wouldn't want to share it with anybody. And then there was the poor little baby one. He's running around. He never got anything. He was always the last one to the party. And the mom kept nudging him over near where the food was to get something, and she was teaching him. And it's amazing because that's exactly what our God does with us. God loves our faithfulness to Him, which we express by having faith in Him. We have faith in God when we have no doubting about what exactly He's going to do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this: Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And it's not, there's no one that's without faith, right? So, because faith is given to us as a gift from God. So there's no one who's without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without you spending your faith instead of spending your doubt, it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to God the Father must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, if you're an unbeliever, you have to expend your faith in Christ to be diligently rewarded, because God is not going to push you, prod you, cajole you, coerce you, make you believe in Him. You have to choose. The Lord doesn't need our sincerity. He needs us to simply follow His example of faithfulness. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 says this: And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Simon Peter and to Andrew the fisherman, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, that sounds so wonderful, but you know what he was saying? He was saying to millionaires, Drop the nets, drop the money, and come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men. How many wealthy people would actually do that? You can say anything about you want about Peter. You can say, oh, well, he betrayed the Lord. Yeah, but he was a millionaire. And he gave up everything. As a matter of fact, Peter was one of the ones who was very vocal about that. He told the Lord, hey, man, I gave everything up for you. And Peter said, you didn't give anything up for me. Because whatever you gave up, I'll add it back to you 100, 200, 300 fold. You didn't give anything up for me. The Lord wants us to follow his plan for our lives. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many plans are in a man's heart. They all usually fall apart. But the counsel of the Lord will stand. Our plans are great to the degree that they absolutely agree with what God's plans are for us. And this causes so much consternation for Christians. Well, what is God's plan for my life? You know, what does God want me to do? And then we never answer the question. I don't have any questions about what God wants me to do. He wants me to teach his word. He wants me to use the gift of pastor teacher that he gave me and teach people. There's no question in my mind what God has planned for me. How about for you? Do you ever stop and ask God to reveal to you what his plan is for you and for your life? Do you ever see what you're good at? Or do you like wandering around in life, scratching your head and wondering, well, I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do. Because I don't like confusion. See? God's not confused, nor is he confusing. He's absolutely crystal clear. And if you ask him, he'll reveal it to you. The Lord wants us to respect him. Are we keeping you awake? Well, you're yawning. I'm the one ought to be yawning. You didn't. What did you do? You sang four songs. What did you do exactly? I stayed up like 9 days writing the lesson, taught people, answering questions, didn't get no food. What did you do exactly that would make you tired? All right, Grandma. Yeah, I guess so. Riding around with Larry and Pat. Do they get you tired? I'll bet it is. I bet it is. You got a lot of TV shows to catch up on, don't you? The Lord wants us to respect him. The Lord wants us to respect him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 say this. And this is Solomon, after he went through 8 experiments to find out if there was anything better than the plan of God for his life. And he says, the conclusion when all has been heard is this: respect God and keep his mandates, because this applies to every person. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And he'll bring that to your attention. So here's the thing. When I went to Cabo a couple of weeks ago to just get some rest and just to focus. And the first thought that came to my mind in that experience was, do it God's way. Do it God's way. So that's the first thing I wrote down in my notebook. Do it God's way. And then I started inspecting my life. And I looked at every area of my life. You know, eating, time use, career, family, companion, self, you know, health. And I asked myself the question, am I doing it God's way? Yeah. The answer that you just got when you ask yourself that, that's the same answer I got. No. 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 I'm not doing it God's way. Well, how's your way working? See, that's one of the funny things. I was talking to Lila about this, that, you know, we do all this work. Ever since Dr. Spock came on the scene and said, we got to really help our kids get self-esteem. How's that working out? So we start spoiling the crap out of them, letting them do whatever they want to do, not enforcing any discipline whatsoever with them. All right, do we have better kids? We got a bunch of morons. The thing that absolutely drives me absolutely crazy in airports is kids are screaming, shrieking. They have this shrill shriek that they've learned, and they just shriek. And their parents just stand there like goofballs, and don't say anything to them. I wish my kids had done that. I just wish they would. They wouldn't have even thought of doing that. Now, so do we have kids who have better self-esteem? We don't. Why don't we look at the result? All right, so do it God's way or do it your way. You're doing it your way. Look at the result. Are you pleased with it? Do you get up every day and say, I'm doing it my way, and man, I am so excited about doing it that way? I don't. When I'm doing it my way, I think it's stupid. I don't think it works at all. And so, why don't we try? Why don't we walk on the wild side? Why don't we try doing it God's way? Why don't we try a little faithfulness? Why don't we try a little submission? We were talking about that yesterday in the Ask the Pastor session. We were talking about submission to authority. Why don't we try a little submission? See what happens. Because I know what happens when you do that. You know what happens? Amazing happens. Amazing happens. Why don't you try a little Word of God? Amazing happens. By the way, the lesson from the Coeur d'Alene Conference is on the website, as are the notes, and the title of it was, If You Don't Go to Church, You Don't Know What You're Missing. And it's one of the best lessons that God's ever provided through this pulpit, and I had a blast writing it. Was it any good, Jim? Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you. So faithful. Faithful is the relationship requirement of a faithful Savior. June can't quit. She can't quit yawning, you guys. I'm boring her. The relationship requirement of a faithful Savior is that we are faithful. So when you choose a relationship, a connection that you decide to make with another person, and the relationship becomes a possession of yours, treasure it, care for it, be faithful to it, nurture it, and you will receive blessing from the Lord for following His relationship example. Thank you to a faithful Savior who was faithful to the point of death, even death on a cross. We absolutely love you, Lord, and it's our pleasure to celebrate the Lord's Supper with you today. Well, the closing moments of this lesson and every lesson are dedicated to anyone who is listening who has not made the most important decision that you can make in this life. And the most important decision of this life is reflected in Acts 16:30, where the jailer said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16:31 says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Acts 4:12 says, There is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name that has been given under heaven by which mankind must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said to the apostle Thomas, the doubting one, I am the way to salvation, I am the truth. Through the Word of God, I am the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation will be saved. June's going to sing the closing song, I Can't Disappoint.
Love is not the love of man. You don't give it, then take it away. It is in your grace I stand. All your mercies are new every day. You don't make me jump through hoops. I can't do nothing to earn your love. you know me eternally, and your love is unconditional, and I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you'll always be around. Your love remains, it remains the same, you won't take it away. I can't disappoint you, oh no, I can't disappoint you. Lord, you have forgiven me, I'm forgiven of all of my sins. You remember to forget, you won't bring them up to me again. You've given me your righteousness, made me perfect, now I'm in your hands. You bore all my guilt and shame, you're the rock upon which I stand. And I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you'll always be around. Your love remains, it remains the same, you won't take it away. I can't disappoint you, oh no, I can't disappoint you. You're all-knowing God, never caught off guard, knew all I would do. Yes, you knew my heart before time began. You chose to provide all I'd ever need. Nothing's on the fly. I'm in union with you. My salvation is secure. You cannot deny me. I'm forever yours. Your love will never ever change. You won't take it away. I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you. You'll always be around. I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you. You'll always be around.
Will you promise me that on your next album you won't have any more of those songs that stop that fast?
I can't promise you that.
You need to promise me that. They're going to be rejected. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for teaching us about faithfulness. And now help us to implement it in our lives. Help us to look around at the relationships we have. And help us to use this information, not to point at others and to say, oh, you're not faithful, but to look in the mirror and look at the way we handle faithfulness in relationships. And let us know that through God the Holy Spirit's enabling power, we have the power to change our relationships right now, to go from moving in one direction to moving completely in the other if the new direction is effectiveness. And we just ask you to help us to have the strength to put our egos aside and to move in the direction that is most supportive of the kind of relationships you want us to have. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.